Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? You're Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Wrap Up is presented by Realtor.com. The home of home search.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center where, hours and hours ago, I believe, the Lakers beat the Warriors 125-120. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. It was the debut for the Warriors of Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins, 8 for 12, 24 points. I think a real solid night for the Warriors' new small forward. He guarded LeBron James a little bit. I know in the first couple of possessions, he not only guarded LeBron James, but he guarded Anthony Davis as well. Held his own, I think, yeah. A decent effort, Whitey, top to bottom. And we've got sort of a new era tonight of the plucky dubs, right?
Between I think so.
Now and the end of the season, they fought, they scratched, they clawed, they found their way down 21. But got back into the game to where it was, there was a good vibe inside Chase Center tonight with the Warriors fighting and scrambling and trying to come up with some semblance of a plucky effort against a team that's going to be contending for a championship in front of a national audience. All in all, the Andrew Wiggins era, I think, while the Warriors don't find the win column tonight, it goes in the plus column as far as just watchability and effort and fun.
Yeah, they came a lot closer to winning this game than I think anyone thought they would. I think that it's a lot more fun now and there's a lot more positivity because, as we said during the pregame show, now you're adding pieces. Wiggins is coming in and he presumably is something they hope to build around or at least make part of the group going forward. Steph Curry's coming in. So now instead of wondering, hey, we like this guy, but is he a fit here? He's kind of fun to watch, but D'Angelo Russell, is he going to be here? Now we know the trade deadline's passed. This is the roster going forward. They're going to be adding to it. So I think that makes the rest of the year more exciting and more interesting. The Warriors put up some numbers tonight. I know this game, you know, wins and losses right now are not that important. That said, they did some very interesting things tonight. We mentioned before the game that the Lakers are number two in the league in points in the paint and the Warriors are dead last, right? The Warriors outscored the Lakers in the paint 60-52. Jim Barnett talked about how, well, you got to try to slow down the Lakers because they get out in transition and they score a lot of points in fast breaks. The Warriors outscored the Lakers in fast break points, 26-16. And the Warriors didn't have a bench, right, coming into this game. Who do they have on the bench? There isn't one. 49 bench points to 41 for the Lakers.
Yeah, and it's a new-look team. There's some differently defined roles among this team now. I mean, you know Marquese Chris, at least for the foreseeable future, is going to be the starting center.
He was unbelievable tonight.
Yeah, you know Wiggins is going to be the starting small forward. Kai Bowman, until Stephen Curry comes back, you know he is going to be the starting point guard. And really, there's almost two waves of this team right now. You've got that first five with Bowman and Lee and Chris and tonight Pascal and Wiggins. I think Draymond will be in that starting unit when he's healthy and Eric Pascal will dip down to the bench. But you've almost got two fives now where everybody knows they're going to get in. And you even saw the Warriors play Zach Norvell Jr. and Alan Smailagic. And Smailagic had the crowd buzzing as he typically does when he gets on the floor.
Yeah, both of them did. Norvell only had 7 points, but he had 2 of 3 three-pointers. And Smailagic with 10 points. You mentioned Marquise Chriss, 26 points tonight, one shy of his career high, but he did have 12 field goals, which is a new career high, 12 of 15. And as far as Wiggins goes, we said before the game, he's got to improve defensively, he's got to improve his shot selection, and he's got to be a better three-point shooter. Well, he scored 24 points on only 12 shots. He defended with great enthusiasm tonight from the jump. And he made 3 out of 4 three-pointers. So it was a sparkling debut. You can't overreact one way or the other. But obviously for the Warriors and for Wiggins, it's a great relief to get off to a very good start.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap-up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of Home Search. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as he met with the media downstairs here at Chase Center in the Bill King interview room. Of course, a lot of the conversation and questions regarding Andrew Wiggins and his Warriors debut.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious your reflections on your first day coaching Andrew Wiggins from kind of meeting him through tonight's game.
Well, it's just great to, to have a player who we could put on LeBron and at least, match up physically. And that's the hardest position to guard these days in the NBA. So to have a guy who's 6'8 and athletic and knows the league well, understands how to play, it's great. Our roster has been really torn apart, between the retirement and injuries and free agency. So it's, I think it's a huge addition for us to be able to add Andrew on the wing. It's a position we, had to fill and we feel really good about it. Yeah, they were great. They've played together before, obviously. We love, Marquise's ability to be a lob threat. I don't know how many dunks he had tonight. It felt like, 5 or 6, maybe more. And Kai is just an aggressive point guard who is not afraid of anybody. So he got into the paint and found Marquise several times, and they both played really well.
Wiggins had 5 steals in the game. Is that something that you anticipated from him? A couple of them were even like at half court making plays around there.
Yeah, I mean, he's long and athletic, and he's been in the league, so he understands the NBA game, and he made some really good plays that we try to teach in terms of how to guard pick and roll, getting back into the passing lane and, fighting back to the basket when somebody breaks free and blocking shots from behind. I thought he, the extra effort really was helpful. And because of that athleticism, it allows him to to make some plays that other guys just can't.
Steve, I don't know that you've closed with Jordan in a close game very often. This is just because he was shooting the ball well. Did you like what he was doing? Was that a conscious decision you made to close with him in this one?
Yeah, he was going well, and we were on a nice run, and that's generally how we do it, especially this year because we've had so much fluidity with the roster. If we find a group that's going well, we'll stay with them. I thought Jordan really had a great second half and finished the game strongly.
You mentioned Marquise as a lob threat. Him rim running and being a lob threat, is that kind of what you want to see from him these last 30 games?
Yeah, for sure. It's one of the reasons we're excited to have him, He's a different look from Loon. He's a different type of player, and we need both of them. We're going to need both guys at the center next year, and probably need another center in free agency as well. But I'm just excited that Marquise is going to be with us going forward. Our coaching staff has felt strongly about him all season long, and he's doing a great job.
Wiggins took 12 shots in about 31 minutes. Did you tell him you got the green light? Did you tell him be selective? Did you tell him look at the three? Anything you could tell him? And did you like that flow for him, that number of shots?
I never said anything about how many shots. I just said sprint the floor both ways. That's the only thing we're asking, especially here in the first week, without him having much knowledge of our playbook, we just stuck to a couple of basic actions, and I just told him, no matter what happens, we need you to sprint the floor both ways, and when we are whole again, we've got a couple of guys who really throw the ball ahead in transition, and Draymond and Steph, and Andrew can get out with such speed that that'll be a great weapon for us going forward.
What do you kind of remember from like a human interaction level with him in this day? And just, I mean, obviously he was on one franchise for whatever, six seasons, and just kind of what must have been a whirlwind and him coming in and playing right away.
He's just a very humble person. He's excited to be here. I think he's excited to play with the guys he's going to play with. Sometimes a change of scenery is good for a player in his career, and I think the timing is right for him. And he's easy to coach. Seems very, very low maintenance. Had a chance to visit with Tom Thibodeau, who's here right now. He had already planned a trip in to watch us practice the next few days, and talked to Tibbs pregame, and he said he loved Andrew, loved coaching him, and I can see why. Just low maintenance and really good guy, good teammate, and everybody enjoyed playing with him.
All right, so there's Steve Kerr. A lot to chew on from the head coach as the Warriors do lose to the Lakers tonight, 125-120. I thought the opening statement was maybe the most telling. Great to have a player we could put on LeBron that could match up physically.
Right.
I think that goes to something that we've really discussed a lot this year, which is just the fact that the Warriors don't have a lot of three-man body types on their roster. Glenn Robinson III found his way out in all of the moves of the last 48 hours. But other than him, they didn't have anybody. They don't have him. Now you have Wiggins, but Wiggins is somebody that's maybe hasn't done it successfully consistently in his career, but he's guarded a lot of those players that you need to be able to at least have a body to throw on, like LeBron, and he's done it regularly.
I agree completely. It's also interesting to me that the first thing Steve Kerr says about Wiggins had a big night offensively, but the first thing he says is defense. So it's very clear what their point of emphasis is going to be with Wiggins going forward, even though, as I say, hit a very efficient night offensively.
Yeah, and nothing about shot attempts or shot selection or anything like that. I thought the other key point was, you know, run the lanes, run the floor hard. And that was something that Steve Kerr had mentioned a couple of days ago. They really want him to run and use that athleticism and maybe get some easy baskets. There weren't too many of those tonight for him, but I think it's a deal where if you're playing the game at a certain tempo, everything will get caught in the wash, especially when this Warriors team is fully healthy and
yes,
closer to what they've been
functional.
The last few years.
I think it's really encouraging that their offensive numbers tonight were excellent as a team. They shot 52%. That's excellent. Three-point shooting, 41%. That's excellent. Two things that really cost them tonight, they didn't shoot the ball well from the foul line, 15 to 23. You lose a game by five and you go 15 to 23. And also, they had 18 turnovers tonight. Wiggins had four and even Kai Bowman had four. But other than the turnovers and the poor free throw shooting, the offense was really clicking, which is really surprising given how many guys just got here.
Yeah, and Wiggins tonight, free throw shooting, he did miss four of his nine
yes.
free throws. And that's something that has been an issue throughout the course of his career. I believe he came in a little under 70% for the season, and he's somebody that's in the low to mid-70s for his career. So free throw shooting for somebody that takes as many field goal attempts as he typically has, the free throw numbers you'd like to see, I think, be a little bit higher than the low to mid-70s.
Absolutely, yeah. I think they can straighten that out. I noticed a few things I'll tell Coach about his release at the foul, and I think we'll straighten him out. But that's a great point you make, and I'm very optimistic that they'll be able to help him improve in that area, and it's pivotal that they do.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors wrap-up here brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search, 888-957-9570. Do we still have Mark in San Francisco? Let's go to Mark in San Francisco here on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
You know, I really like the moves that Myers made, getting all these draft picks. We do good in the second round. And the way this organization drafts and scouts, you're not always going to hit every player, but they do a pretty good job overall. I think that's their strength.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think the Warriors, though, Mark, and thanks for the call, are pretty happy with the fact that they're going to have some first-round picks here that mm-hmm. are going to be higher than anywhere that they've picked, really going all the way back to Harrison Barnes in 2012, who was picked, what, 7 overall in the first round. I think the Warriors are really going to welcome potentially having not one but multiple picks the next 2 years, or at least two of the next 3 years, that could be, let's say, top 10 level picks, maybe could be as high as even top 5 with their own pick this year, given where their record currently is.
As Mark points out, nobody hits on all their picks, and the Warriors just acknowledged, right, that Jacob Evans,
didn't
that wasn't going to work out, so he's gone. But Jordan Poole had a tremendous night tonight with 19 points. He did pad that a little bit with especially one layup late. But he had 8 of 12, 3 out of 7 beyond the arc, and they were kind of even going to him late in the game to hang in there, to stay in there. This from a guy who has struggled mightily with his jump shot. So that's a very encouraging sign once again from their last year's first-round draft choice.
Well, and Jordan Poole was somebody that was he was in the finishing lineup tonight.
Yes.
I mean, he
yes.
was somebody that – and the Warriors are – you know, the way their roster is currently, you know, composed, you know, Damian Lee or Jordan Poole, it could be as a matter of, hey, who's playing better on that night?
Right.
It was Poole.
Yeah, primetime game against the Lakers from a guy who it wasn't that long ago. Steve Kerr was saying, you know, I think we just threw too much at him, and he really shouldn't be playing this much, and obviously he's responded.
Yeah, so he winds up in just under 23 minutes with 19 points. He did knock down 3 threes. 8 of 12 overall, a quality effort for Jordan Poole off the bench tonight. Alan Smilagic also in double figures for the Warriors off
and
the bench.
And he missed some makeable shots, too.
He really did. He seemed a little bit maybe wound up tonight, like shots that he...
Everybody was a little
more,
wound up
you know,
tonight. Yeah.
Shot you know, more effortlessly earlier in the season. I thought he was, yeah, a little wound up. Maybe the shots were a little... little long, little too much energy that he had to channel through there. But, you know, another aspect of all of the moves the last couple of days that I really like, Whitey, is the fact that this opens up some time for Alan Smilagic.
Right.
And I know, you know he didn't play a ton, but, you know, 14 minutes.
And he made the most of them.
He made the most of them. And you know what? He winds up taking a minus 10. And like you said, he missed some shots that were probably makeable. But I like seeing him get time to work on his game. I think 14 minutes at the NBA level for Alan Smilagic is more beneficial, I really do, than 28 to 32 minutes playing in the G League, especially when you look at the opportunity that's been afforded this Warriors team now with 29 games to go, the record that they have when they do not anticipate being anywhere close to this record next year, where maybe you don't have the margin for error to play a guy like Smilagic a lot, let him get out there.
Yeah, give him more minutes.
So having less, you know, having fewer options because of some of these trades, and maybe Amari Spellman, who I know the Warriors liked, him not being around, and Draymond obviously not playing tonight, I think helped Smilagic get in the ball game as well. But just having a couple fewer options opening a path to get him on the court, I think, is a net positive.
He's got that scorer's mentality. Soon as he touches, he's looking to score. And if he can't score, he doesn't force things. He'll pass it out to Bowman. You know, he reposted tonight, got it out to Bowman. But I love that about him. The first thing he does is he looks to score. And he thinks he can score every time he touches the ball. But again, that said, he's not forcing the issue. Steve Kerr again tonight, speaking of the Warriors' bigs, he mentioned postgame, oh, we probably need another center in free agency. And that's been a common theme with him. I don't know if he's trying to convince someone.
No,
but
they
it's
do.
It's pretty clear.
No,
I mean, yeah, we've
look,
talked about
and
that.
I don't think we're going to see 6 centers on the Warriors roster next year. But if you start to pencil out, okay, who do the Warriors have? You have Chris and you have Looney at this particular point in time. You're going to need a third one, and you're going to need the third one to be
more of a true center, right?
You're going to need
him. Like to have
one
available.
He's going to be a 7-footer with some girth.
Even as the NBA moves away from that, and nobody wanted Andre Drummond, and the Rockets say, we don't need Capella, we don't need a center, you'd still like to have one available.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, and you at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll hear from Andrew Wiggins coming up here as well as Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com. The home of home search continues from Chase Center.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. We're back inside Chase Center where the Lakers beat the Warriors tonight 125-120. Golden State now 12-41. The Lakers walk out of here with a 39-12 record. These two teams are going to be back at it again in this building in just 19 days, February the 27th. It'll be another nationally televised game, that one a Thursday night on TNT. So the Lakers get a win. I know they had lost three of their last five, so they were in need of a victory, and the Warriors trying to figure out their new identity with Andrew Wiggins in the mix and Kai Bowman back in the fold and Marquese Chris taking on a bigger role as he scored 26 points tonight to lead the Warriors in scoring. Andrew Wiggins makes his debut and goes for 24 points on 8 of 12. He hit 3 of 4 from 3, and he spoke with the media downstairs here at Chase Center for the first time after the ball game tonight.
Can you just take us kind of through these last few hours, this last day, you know, getting off the plane until, you know, right now?
Getting off the plane, when I got off, I got a chance to come to the facility, you know, and check everything out. And just leading up to the game, I was just anxious and excited. You know, I know the crowd here is crazy. The energy here is, you know, amazing. You know, the culture is amazing. So I'm just excited to be part of it.
Hi, Andrew. Janie McCauley from Associated Press. Steve was in here a bit ago and just said his simple instructions were sprint the floor both ways. And he so appreciated, you know, not only your scoring ability right away, but also the fact that you can match up with LeBron and be physical. Were those nice instructions to get from him to kind of make it simple for you tonight?
Sure, for sure. You know, I met with him earlier, and he was just like, compete and just run the floor. You know, those are the main things, you know, and just hearing those words is making it easier on me. You know, I'll have to come here and try and do a lot or nothing like that. So I just felt good on the court, let the game come to me. The whole team, we're all unselfish tonight, moved the ball and we competed. You know, that's the most important thing.
When you take a wider scope of what it will be here, obviously, you know, you see Steph and Clay over there. How do you see yourself? They've kind of talked about you not having to be the star and kind of just being, you know, the small forward, play your position. What do you just kind of view long term here?
A great team, man. A great team. I'm joining a championship team, championship culture, you know, so I'm happy to be a part of it. Just playing with those guys, I know the whole floor will be, you know, open, you know, being not my best thing is attacking the basket, you know, and it's going to be kind of hard to help if you have, you know, Steph and Clay. but just the way they're unselfish, you know, their leadership, even Draymond, their leadership, I'm looking forward to it.
Andrew, what do you think you learned most in Minnesota that you'll bring with you now to the Warriors?
I learned a lot in Minnesota. You know, not really no particular or specific, you know, thing that I can think of right now, but I've learned a lot, you know, over my, you know, 5.5 years, you know, just competing, how to be a professional, certain things like that.
Andrew Montepool, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve said he spoke with Coach Thibodeau earlier and that Tom said he enjoyed coaching you, that you're a good guy and so forth. Yet there's people who criticize you for not doing, quote unquote, enough. In your mind, I mean, what do you think you could have done there that you weren't able to do, and what do you want to try and do here for yourself, not just for the team?
I feel like, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You know, it is what it is. You know, I feel like when you're losing, you know, there's going to be a little dark shadow over you. But I'm here now. You know, this is a winning culture, you know, a winning team. So hopefully people can, you know, take a different view and, you know, just watch us ball.
It's only been 24 hours, but, you know, in your kind of your onboarding process, has anything about this organization, this building, anything kind of surprised you?
Everything, really. You know, just the way, you know, their approach, their practice facility, the arena, everything is amazing. You know, the culture around the locker room, you know, the positivity, the energy, all of it.
Andrew, Colin Ward-Henninger, CBSSports.com. You grew up in Toronto. You've played your whole career in Minnesota. How excited are you for the California weather?
Like you said, I lived my whole life in the cold, you know, so I'm very excited. You know, my girlfriend's excited. My daughter, she doesn't know it yet, but she's going to be excited. So it'll be a good time.
Logan Murdoch, NBC Sports Bay Area. Kind of touching on what Monty was saying, you know, with all these things, were you thinking that you were kind of in need of a fresh start, you know, now through your years in Minnesota? And if so, how do you feel to finally have that?
Yeah. You know, I was just like, you know, if it happens, it happens. It's going to be a blessing, you know, either way. And when the news broke, you know, I was excited, you know, excited for both sides. And, yeah, that's basically it.
What were those maybe 3 days leading up to the deadline like for you? I mean, your name was being floated out there already. I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah.
And then if you could take us through the moment you learned.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really – I don't really worry too much, you know, about – you know, the outside world and people talking. You know, my job is just to go on the court, you know, and hoop, play basketball. You know, so when everyone's talking or rumors about me getting traded or anything, I just play basketball. And if it happens, it happens. You know, it happens as God's plan. And, you know, just leading up to it, I woke up and then my coach, Coach Ryan and Gerson, just they called me and they let me know.
Over here. How important is it to you to try and establish the situation here where you can show people that, hey, you can thrive in this culture and go after a ring?
It's important. You know, I've been part of a, you know, we lost a lot, you know, in Minnesota. So coming here, being part of a winning team, winning culture, it's different. You know, losing's never fun. You know, and just being here, you can tell by everyone's attitude, everyone's approach, you know, how everything is everywhere, you know, that, you know, they're winners, you know, and that's something I wanted to be my whole career, and I'm here, so I'm happy.
When you're making plays, you know, I think you had one dunk in the first half, and you can look over and you see Steph Curry kind of celebrating there. Is that a surreal moment for you?
Yeah, you know, this whole thing didn't really feel real till they, you know, announced my name, and they're just like, whoa, you know, I'm here, you know, just seeing the crowd and, you know, just seeing everyone excited for me and, you know, just embracing me one of their own. You know, it's a great feeling.
Did you think you could play this well in your first time with these guys who you never played with before?
Yeah, you know, I believe in myself, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's basketball. You know, you prepare for this moment. Your preparation is going to prepare you for, you know, any moment on the court, you know. And I feel like I was mentally ready and prepared to, you know, go out there and, you know, play good basketball.
Anything else? All right. Andrew Wiggins.
Even keel, kind of an even keel guy.
Yeah. That's
attacks the rim, doesn't necessarily attack the questions.
I think that'll be a welcome temperament for this Warriors team.
Might fit in very nicely, yeah.
And I you know, really, when you
as
look at
as long as the effort is there on the court.
Different personality types, you know, of a Stephen Curry and a Klay Thompson and a Draymond Green. They're all three so complimentary at times. I mean, Kevin Durant was a very different personality type from the other three. At times funny, at times kind of volatile, at times maybe a little bit moody. Andrew Wiggins seems like he is sort of a cross between maybe a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson a little bit.
It's funny. I was thinking the same thing that you just said when I listened to him there, that, you know, and obviously now we're so optimistic and hoping everything fits. But I was thinking, wow, that type of personality could really slide right in as long as he's confident, he just doesn't appear to be ruffled by what people say. But at the same time, he is capable and willing to adjust to what adjustments he needs to make. We saw that in his game tonight. Thought it was interesting that he talked about how the Warriors were unselfish tonight and they competed, and they really did. That those are two very keen observations, because they had 30 assists, and you know, that's the Lakers are number one in the West, a legitimate contender, and I mean, that was a 5-point game. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and they battled from 21 down.
Yeah,
I mean, look, for me, if Andrew Wiggins can play 60 games next year like he did tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that number may even be high. But if he could play a significant amount of games the way he did tonight with what the Warriors believe they're going to have next year around him, this trade's going to be a win for the Warriors.
Another key is the fact that with Minnesota, he was taking about 20 shots a game, and he took 12 tonight, and he made the most of them, 24 points. But it seems like he's fine with that. If he can be fine, you know, having some nights where he takes 12 shots, then again, he's going to fit right in, because there are going to be nights like that on this team once everybody's back.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you look at the shot distribution tonight. Marquese Chris wound up with the most field goal attempts for the Warriors in this game, and actually the second most for the entire game. It was LeBron James, 17, Marquese Chris, 15. Now, a lot of them are right around the basket. A lot of them were dunks, so you're never going to turn that down. And he wound up 12 for 15 for 26 points to go with 9 boards. But, yeah, Wiggins only 12 attempts right there with Jordan Poole. Him and Jordan Poole both 8 of 12 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Both knocked down 3 3-pointers in the ball game tonight. But, yeah, if Wiggins plays the game that he played tonight.
5 steals, don't forget.
You know, and he was very active. I mean, that he very active in the passing lanes. He was, I don't think you're going to see that obviously every single night, but he was a conscious defender tonight. I thought he was aware of what was going on, and look, just solid. And I think it goes to show, Whitey, how far the Warriors had fallen in terms of, you go from Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant, to, you know, and Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala, down to not really having anybody. Glenn Robinson III's a nice player. I think he's a backup player.
Right.
But there's a difference. You know, Andrew Wiggins, the difference between Glenn Robinson III and Andrew Wiggins, say what you want about Wiggins' deficiencies, it's night and day.
He's a legitimate NBA small forward.
He's a legitimate starting small forward in the NBA,
yeah.
And I think that's something, you know, Glenn Robinson – nice player, bench player. I think somebody that could be a player, you know, on this team even next year as a backup. But the Warriors got better at that position.
Yeah,
making that
and
trade.
I think his numbers, his final numbers, were even more encouraging, considering that he did get off to understandably, kind of a shaky start. He had an offensive foul, had some bad turnovers, but then he made
that
corner
three.
Yeah, he was off to it. It's like, oh my goodness.
He was 0-3, and he ended up 8-9.
Right. He stuck with it and had a real nice game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We've got the call of the game coming up here, and we will also hear maybe from Kai Bowman as well, as we are here between now and 10 o'clock as Warriors Wrap Up, brought to you by Realtor.com. The home of home search continues from Chase Center.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason back here inside Chase Center. Lakers beat the Warriors 125-120. Was a nice debut for Andrew Wiggins, but not enough to allow the Warriors to prevail in this one, as Golden State, they have now lost 2 straight games after their 2-game winning streak last Saturday and Monday. The Warriors back in action on Monday, back in this building against the Miami Heat. Before we hear from Marquese Chris, Whitey, let's go ahead and get to our call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game, brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Scott Anderson, Pargo play catch. 7 on the clock. Here is Smiley Geach. backs up now, fakes Howard, goes right by him for a right-hand slam. He faked the handoff and wheeled by him for the dunk.
That was sweet.
He called over like, oh, I'm going to get it to you, and Howard bit the whole thing.
All right, so know the call of the game on Monday. Make sure you tune in to Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, 9:30 a.m. If you can correctly identify the call we just played, you will win $50 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. Smiley Geach making Dwight Howard look a little bit silly. Some may say, and I think I saw this tweeted, that was the moment that he officially became a Warrior.
Oh, interesting.
When he made Dwight Howard look silly.
Wow. By the way, I also thought that Chris tonight kind of frustrated and got under JaVale McGee's skin. Just, I think JaVale McGee struggled against his old team, and Marquese Chriss was working him over tonight.
Yeah, Marquese Chriss is somebody that has a little bit of an edge to him, and he can be a little bit of a hothead, and maybe you're not expecting it, you know, from him, and then all of a sudden he's just, you know, banging on you a little bit and not
throwing
afraid
it down
to,
on your head.
Yeah, not afraid to mix it up with you too a little bit, which I think is an element of his game. I know Draymond Green has said he has loved it, and I think the Warriors like it as well. Let's go ahead and quickly, before we wrap this thing up, hear from Marquese Chriss, as he had a 26.9 board night in the Warriors' loss to the Lakers.
Did you feel some type of way when you went through waivers and no one even budged?
No. I mean, honestly, I told people I didn't want to go anywhere else. To be quite honest, this was where I wanted to be. So I had spoken to my agent about that to, you know, make sure that I can come back here. And there was people who spoke to him, and, you know, it was kind of more of a, I wouldn't even say ignoring, but just trying to be back here. This is where I wanted to be. This is where I feel like I would be the best fit. And, obviously, things worked out the way they were supposed to, because I am back here. So,
how do you feel that knowing that you will be, you know, I guess auditioning for to be in the long term plans now, and you have a chance to be here long term?
I mean, I've been auditioning from day one. I think I bet on myself coming here with no certainty. You know, and I take pride in what I do, and I think I can do it well, and I think it's something that this team needs. So I just try to fill my role and not do too much and do what I'm asked, and it's led to me being here for the next couple of years.
Marquese, you've been in losing situations before. How kind of unique is this situation where you have guys who were traded at the deadline who didn't want to leave, even though your record is what it is?
I think it just speaks volumes to the culture here. People enjoy playing here. I think they enjoy the camaraderie that we had. But at the end of the day, it's part of a business. And, you know, we build relationships that are beyond basketball. So, you know, even though we won't be competing with each other anymore, I think that those relationships will still stand. So,
you're kind of in a weird situation while you're on your two-way briefly, where you couldn't practice with the team or anything like that. How did you deal with that? And did you, like, how important is that practice for you now?
I mean, I think it's part of being a professional. You don't really understand what situations you're going to be in, but I just had to stay ready. You know, obviously not practicing, and I was starting. So just watching a lot of film and working out, making sure that I stayed ready for the games was just part of being a professional.
There, and the big takeaway, he wanted to be here. You know, there was that, you know, 48 hours where, you know, somebody could have claimed him, and the Warriors had to put him on the two-way deal, and now he got that converted back to a deal, you know, for the remainder of the year and beyond. And, you know, he said it flat out. He wanted to be here, and I think, you know, we were talking about Andrew Wiggins maybe benefiting from being around this franchise and being around some of the other great players in that culture, and I think Marquese Chriss is somebody that's making the most of it as well.
Absolutely. We've seen a handful of guys this year, some who aren't even here anymore, who have made the most of the opportunity that they've had here. And I also wanted to point out Juan Toscano-Anderson tonight played pretty well. Pargo played well. So I think that speaks to your point. It speaks to the culture that players are able to come in and assimilate and make the most of these opportunities.
And the guys, I like lefty shooters. So I'm a little partial to Zach Norvell. I like a lefty Norvell that can come in and just fill it up a little bit. Yeah. I know he had the two big games against the Warriors in the preseason.
Chase Center is the house that Zach Norvell built, right?
But he could fill it up a little bit.
Yes, he can.
And was a willing defender, I thought, tonight in 17 minutes. So everybody that was available played. Obviously, Draymond with the back tightness did not. But, it was good to see, you know, different players getting opportunities.
Get the ball to 21. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on fire.
Yeah, he knocked down a couple of three-pointers.
Yes.
And wound up with 7 points. So the Warriors, all in all, they lose to the Lakers tonight, 125-120. That drops their record to 12-41. They're back here on Monday. The Miami Heat in town. I know Miami, they made a bunch of different moves, including
they have a familiar face on
the addition
roster,
of Andre Iguodala,
yeah.
who I know they play in Portland tomorrow, so we'll have to see. I know Jay Crowder was unavailable. They didn't have anybody in Sacramento last night. The Kings wound up beating them relatively easily in the second half, but they play in Portland tomorrow before they're here, so we'll see who plays tomorrow. Maybe other guys that play tomorrow don't play here. Jimmy Butler's dealing with an injury as well, so he may not, it sounds like, be going in that ball game. But, it should be fun to see Andre Iguodala back.
Yeah, they'll guard you, but the Lakers will guard you too, and the Warriors still put up a 120 tonight, so it should be fun.
That's going to do it for us. Want to thank Tim Jordan for setting us up out here at Chase Center, for Alex Scott and Cody Pasby back in our San Francisco studios. Whitey, you're back tomorrow morning, right? Quick
absolutely
turnaround for you, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
with Coase.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
9 a.m. with Coase right here on 95.7 The Game until 1, and then we'll be back with Jim Barnett Monday night, 6 o'clock, right here at Chase Center with Warriors Live, so keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. Fox Sports Radio is coming your way next. Lakers beat the Warriors 125-120. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.